Jesus said in John 10:10, he said this. He said, I have come that they, that's those who will choose to follow me, I've come that they will have life and have it to the full, have it to where it's overflowing. Not just a moment, not just a single season, but no, he's talking about a life, a lifestyle that experiences the fullness of God. And I think that's an incredible promise on the table for you and me. It's really something that we can grab onto and it could change our lives. And I think what he's speaking to and what we're going to see is he's talking a lot about that lifestyle of legacy. But here's one thing I know, and I'm sure you know too. It's typical when we think about legacy or when we think about making a difference. This is one thing, and I've given you the blanks in your outline, you can see. But we tend to overestimate what we can do in a year or two, but we underestimate what God can do in 10 or 20, right? Is that just me or is that you too? Have you ever been there? I think we tend to look for the big things in the here and now, and yet we tend to struggle with trusting God in the process of his forever plan. And, you know, I remember one time when I was 24 years old. I was on staff here as a pastor. I was doing some education. I was doing a lot of things, and I got to meet one of my relatives. I'd never met him before because he had spent the vast majority of his life in Southeast Asia, and he came to Richmond when I was 24 years old, and I got to go out to lunch with him. He founded, and led the largest orphanage, missions orphanage, in all of Southeast Asia. When I met him, he had just finished his PhD at Oxford and the Oxford Center of Missions. Just a brilliant guy, lots of influence. Like I said, I didn't know him at all, so don't think that came from, I got any of that. But that is... this is who this guy was. We went out to lunch and we were talking, and he was asking me about my life, asking me about what I was doing. And he finally looked at me and he said, Brandon, man, it's so encouraging to hear about what you're doing as a pastor. It's so encouraging to hear about your education. And, I'm thinking, yeah, I know. It is encouraging. Thank you. And then he's pouring in and he says, if you keep it up, you could be in a place of great influence by the time you're 60. And I thought, I was 24, and I was like, 60? What an insult. I was 24, but 60? What is he talking? Why wouldn't he say 25? I mean, I was going to write 5 books by the time I was 30. I mean, what is he talking about? 60, And he kept going on, and I kind of stopped listening at that point. But I knew that, it took me a while to really understand and grasp what he meant there, because I was in this kind of mindset that I was overestimating a little bit of what I thought maybe I could do or produce or create in a year or two, and yet really I was underestimating what God wanted to do with my life in the long term, in the long span of 10, 20. I was so focused on the big things. I was looking for the big in the now. I was looking for the big in the day-to-day. And you know what? I believe that this is true for all of us. It's a human problem. It's not just my problem. But we all can have that tendency. And I think God notices the little things. I think God notices the little moments in life. And he's watching us in the little moments because God knows that our everyday is connected to his eternal purpose. That the decisions I make today largely impact the future. And when I look back, the legacy I'm going to leave. God knows that about you and me. He knows that's how we work. He knows that's how we move. That he knows he has a plan for our life, a plan for how he designed us. And I believe that today we want to look at what that means, what it means to really experience his promised life of legacy, and look at that everyday kind of experience he's calling us to. And so I think that's true whether you're a high school senior and you're trying to weigh out your college options. You're trying to decide which path to take. Maybe you're a young parent, and you've had to kind of set the career or the dreams, the life dreams, on the back burner because, it's just all you can do to get those kids in bed by 7:30. We'll get baths next week. We're just going for bedtime. That's kind of the Baldwin mantra. thank you to our nursery workers. But maybe that's you. Maybe you're in a place where you're kind of in that middle spot of your career, and you're trying to figure out, you don't want to miss when to pivot. Right? You don't want to miss that chance, that opportunity. You don't want to miss that chance to chase, and you're trying to figure that out. Maybe the next thing on your horizon is retirement, and you're trying to figure out, you know, God, how do I leverage my life and what I've done? How do I leverage that to make the maximum impact? I think, though, this message can go beyond life stage. And I think it can go a little bit deeper. Maybe you're in a place where your marriage has really been struggling for a year or two. Maybe if you're honest, it's been struggling for about 10 years, for some of that 10 and 20. And you're just struggling like, God, how do I make a difference in this place where I'm at? How can I do that? Maybe you're in a place where you're just, it's financially tight and you're just trying to keep your head afloat above water. And you're like, God, this is great. And all this Thanksgiving, that's all nice and kind. You don't understand where I'm at. I don't know if I'm in a season where I can do that. Or maybe you're the only Christian in your home, and your spouse doesn't believe, and your kids are off doing their own thing, and you're saying, like, you know, what chance do I have? Now, I believe the word that God has for us today, I believe the word we're going to look at that Jesus gives us, it's a word for no matter where you are, no matter who you are. And God gives us very practical, very possible steps that we can take to kind of enact a faith and a trust in his incredible maybe seemingly impossible promises, like the one in John 10:10 that he's put on the table. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at that, and we're going to do that by looking at one simple teaching from Jesus. It's a very simple one. It's basically three verses in the Gospels. In fact, if you grew up in church, I promise you, you have sung songs about this teaching. There will be a melody that runs through your head at some point while I'm talking. You've seen felt board diagrams of this teaching. You've done all kinds of things about learning how, you know, this teaching from Jesus. But I do want to caution you, because sometimes if you're like me and you've grown up and you've heard this all your life, it just kind of sounds like, you know, it's just familiar. But don't let what is familiar cause you to overlook what is so profound in what Jesus says. Don't allow what is familiar cause you to miss the incredible potential that Jesus puts in these words, in this teaching. He is so wise as a teacher. And if you and I, and if the church today would grab hold of what Jesus teaches, of what he lays out for you and me, I promise you, it would change the trajectory of our society and our culture. I'm not just talking about your life. I'm not just talking about this church. I mean, it would change literally the world. It's a marker. What we're going to look at was a marker of the early church for the first 300 years of their life and how they radically changed their culture. It's amazing what can happen if you and I would grab onto this and choose to trust Jesus in what he says. And so we're going to look at it, and we're going to do it slow, nice and slow. We're going to tease it out, because I'm hoping as we do that, it will kind of revive the truth of God's word for you in this. And you will hear it, and you will be able to respond to it and trust God like never before. Sound good? Great. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 14. And I believe that as we look at this, we're going to see an answer from Jesus about how to build that life of legacy. We're going to see that it's even more God. Jesus is speaking to us and wants to speak to us about something that is so much greater than your life or my life. And so that's where we're at. So if you have the notes from the bulletin, you can follow along there. If you have your Bibles or a Bible app, you can follow along there. And I'll kind of lead you through these three verses, starting with Jesus' declaration at verse 14. Let's look at this. Real quick, before we do it, I'm just going to tell you how we're going to do this. Jesus was an amazing teacher. That's not all he was, but he was incredibly wise in how he taught and what he did. In fact, we're going to look in three simple verses. He gives us one thing to know, one thing to do, and then he gives us a vision of why it's so important to him and why it should be so important for you and me. That structure is so important. That's how I teach. I follow the model of Jesus. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at one thing to know, one thing to do, and one reason why. Keep it nice and clean. I love it. Let's look at verse 14. This is how Jesus begins. He says, "You are the light of the world." Now, before we just run past that, just think about who Jesus was speaking to. Jesus is standing on a hill. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, where he gave these teachings. And he would go up here and he would teach the people. And they would sit under him for hours as he taught. And as he was sitting there, excuse me, he was looking at a crowd of people. He was looking at men. He was also looking at women and children. Women and children who in that culture at that time, they really weren't that much, had much more value in society than a man's property and what he owned. He was looking at people who were uneducated. He was looking at people who were poor. He was looking at people who most likely they'd never be written about in a book. They'd never be talked about in history. They never had a chance to even make the news where they were. And yet God looked at them. Jesus looked at them in the eye. People who didn't have the access to the circle of influence that you and I have, the access to the internet or to opportunities to really make a difference is what we might think of. And he looks at them and he says, "You are the light of the world." Now, this is familiar to us, right? This is familiar, but this is so profound. This idea, it is fundamentally unique to the message of Jesus, his life and his teaching, and it's this, that every life has intrinsic value and every life has a purpose. You and I know that, but nobody knew that until Jesus said it. Nobody knew it until he came, and this is one of the running themes of Jesus' message, that every life has intrinsic value. In fact, to be a follower of Jesus means that we believe every life has intrinsic value and purpose. Incredible. What Jesus spoke so quickly, so simply, it's been put in little songs for our kids, but it's so important for them to know from the start, you are the light of the world. And so that's where I lead you to this one thing that you and I need to know about today, and it's this, that you and I were made to make a difference. You and I were made to make a difference. Jesus thought you were worth dying for, not just because of the eternal home he created for you, but because of the potential he created within you. That you were hardwired to make a difference. You've been hardwired to find those things in life that actually lead to fulfillment. It's in your heart. It's who you are. Look at that. Thank you. So I believe that God is calling us to a life, to live a life of legacy, and he's calling us to understand this. And here's the reason why, because the life of legacy that Jesus calls us to live is grounded in the identity Jesus calls us to embrace. It's incredible what happens if you'll live like this is true. If I believe I was made to make a difference, I approach life differently. If I believe I was made to make a difference, I approach my day differently, right? I'm looking differently. I'm asking different questions. I'm not asking the if questions. I'm not walking through my day saying, God, if do I have value? Is this right? Am I? Do I have purpose? Is this? That's not the question I'm asking. It's already settled in my heart. Now I'm asking a different question, which is how? How do I make a difference? How do I be a part of this? How do I do, God, what you created me to do? Jesus right here changes the question in our hearts. But if we want to live a life of legacy, if we want to experience life that Jesus calls us to, it begins here, that we have to choose to embrace and we have to choose to walk each day as if I was made to make a difference. That's the call of Jesus. In fact, that leading to that question of how is exactly where he goes with his next verses. It's exactly where he goes with the next two verses, which are really two metaphors. You're familiar with them. I'm going to share them again. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under the basket, but it's on a stand and it gives light to all in the house." Now, these two metaphors are so important. Jesus, both metaphors emphasize intentionality. It's not about the city on the hill. It's about a city that has been set on a hill. It's about a city, the language is, that has been placed upon the hill. In other words, a group of people came together and they looked at their area and they said, you know what? We shouldn't build here. We should build here, because if we do that, everybody will know where we are. Everybody will see. It's about intentionality. And then he gives this second one, same exact thing. It's not about the lamp. It's really not about the fire within. It's about what am I going to do with the fire within? You hear that? It's about intentionality. What am I going to do with that? Because the fire is going to be effective, but I determine how efficient it's going to be by where I place it. Both metaphors are about intentionality. Both metaphors emphasize a choice. And Jesus uses these two metaphors so simple, right? We all get it. It makes sense. We understand. And he says, look, now I'm going to give you a command. Now I'm going to tell you what you do about it. So he says this, in the same way, with the same intentionality, in the same way, give light to others. Now look at your Bible. It probably says, let your light shine, right? And that's why we, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's why we do that. And that's because in the English, let it shine is just a little bit more natural. We don't say, hey, can you give light to that over there? We don't do that. But the language, the verb is the same verb that he used about the lamp. It's this whole idea that the lamp gives light. And so then he turns and he doesn't say, let your light shine. He gives a command. He gives a strength. He turns his whole language and he says, now, look, in the same way you give light. It's a command. It's not a challenge. It's a command. It's not a great idea. He says, look, you're the light of the world. Give your light to others. Give your light to others. And then he does this incredible thing. He defines exactly what he's talking about. He moves from metaphor to practicality. And he says, look, give your light to others. And here's how you do it, so that they may see your good works. He defines what it means to give our light. Good works, a life of good works. Now, this is another term, I think, I mean, if you're like me, this is way overused and way too familiar, and so I want to take a minute to reframe it for you and let you just, again, breathe a little life into what Jesus was teaching us. Because if you look at the model of Jesus, you look at his lifestyle, you look at his teaching, you can define good works by this. Good works, or good deeds, are compassion and generosity. It's living a lifestyle of just outstanding love expressing itself in compassion and generosity. That's really what he's talking about. In fact, look at how Paul described it in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, in a lifestyle, in how you approach everything, because you are his dear children. Now look, Paul gets it too. There's the identity piece, right? He begins there as well. And then he says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and he offered himself. That means really what it is he gave all of himself. He gave everything of himself, offered all of himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. It's beautiful that he talks to us and calls us, Jesus calls us to say, look, this is what it means to build a life of legacy. This is really the nuts and bolts of what Jesus says when he says, you're the light of the world, and now here's what you do about it. Here's where we get to the one thing to do that Jesus was all about, and it's this, to live with intentional generosity. Intentional generosity. It's not just a challenge. It's a command. It's not just a challenge. That our life is filled. It's a life full of intentional generosity. There's a quote by a teacher named Andy Stanley who's talking about this, and I think it's really worth us listening to. He says this, while we may be criticized for what we believe, we should be famous for our compassion and our generosity. What would happen if the world looked at the church and they said, man, maybe I don't stand up on everything they agree with, but I look at them and, man, they are really generous people. This is so important. We can't walk past how important this is, and we can't walk past what Jesus' emphasis is. It's not that we don't speak, and it's not that we don't stand for what's right, but that can't be all we do. And that can't be all we say, because we live in a generation that is suspicious of the church. They're suspicious of the Bible, and they're suspicious of Christians. They are. You know that in the world right now, there are only 20 countries where the gospel is not growing faster than the population rate, and America is one of them. Do you know that 5 miles from your seat, there are 38,000 people who do not go to church, who do not are suspicious of the church and suspicious of the gospel? And you know what I know, and this you know this too, suspicious people watch before they listen. Come on, you know it. Suspicious people watch. We all are suspicious about some things, and we watch before we listen. I want to watch and see, are you really real before I just trust you, right? And when I think about I'm the light of the world, I tell you, often I have thought, man, that means I got to be able to stand for what's right. And Jesus is saying, no, you are the light of the world. Now, give your light by being incredibly generous and being incredibly compassionate. And when you do that, they will take notice. They will see. Jesus knew there was a power. There was a power to the lifestyle. There was a power to generosity and compassion, so much so that he commands us to be deliberate, to be strategic, to be intentional with how we live a generous life. So much so that he banks the impact of the gospel, the impact of his kingdom message in your life and in my life, that it be lived out through our actions. That's how important this was to Jesus. And so that's why we've done things like this, just simple things, but we provided you last week with this card, right? This giving card. It says, God loves you, and it just says something extra. We encourage you. It's still in your bulletin. Some ideas of just being extra generous with an extra, you know, a larger tip than usual, with a way to be generous to your neighbors or a way to be generous to the person, buy the coffee of the person behind you at Starbucks. Just be generous. Just start building that into your life. You know what's awesome? We ordered 1,000 of these thinking, oh, we'll take us a few weeks to get through that. You guys took 1,000 of these last week. Isn't that awesome? Now, what would happen if 1,000 of them were used this week? What could happen if this was our lifestyle? You've got to wait till next Sunday. We'll have some more. It took us a little bit of time to figure out we needed more. What could happen if every week Cornerstone gave out 1,000 of these? Not because of Cornerstone, not because of a person, but because we're just saying, hey, look, we're the light of the world, and we're going to be extra generous. We're going to be extra compassionate to those around us. We're going to live as if we've been set like a city on a hill. We're going to live like we were made to make a difference, and we're going to watch our day a little differently. It's awesome. We had a new member who's currently just finished Keep Growing, and she was talking about this principle, and she talked about how one of the things she does is she keeps in her car a homeless care package that's provided with just different things that would help someone who's in a homeless situation that would provide some for their needs. And you know what she says? I do it because that way when I see them, I have something to give them. And I thought, wow, that's crazy, you know, because I'm at the stoplight and I see them and I'm like, you know, I don't carry cash anymore. That's not my. I'm too cheap to pay a toll, so there's no change in my car. You know, anything that was in my car that was edible has been eaten already. So, by my kids, not by me. Just anything, anywhere has been. It's already taken up. So, but listen, the point is, I want to be nice. I want to be generous, but I just haven't made a plan to be generous. I just haven't been intentional. What if I was? What if you were at your workplace? What if you were intentional with your generosity this week at your workplace? Thanksgiving's coming. What if instead of going into Thanksgiving, rehearsing all of your stances, you made a plan for how you were going to be generous? And you walked in with a plan of generosity and compassion. How could that change Thanksgiving for your home, for your family? Because they're watching. They're watching. And Jesus is calling us to be the light of the world. You know, something that is just real practical, and I share this only because I believe that when we choose to start living an intentional lifestyle, I think God takes notice of that. And I think he opens doors. In fact, it says so in Luke 16 that if we're faithful with the small things, God will open doors for greater purposes to be releases. So, you know, something that Hannah and I have done, just really practical. This is so important to us. It's one of our core family attitudes that we talk about in our home, things we do with our kids. We talk about generosity. We try to do things together, and we try to, you know, build this into our life that we're just going to be a generous people. It's just who we are. And so what's interesting about that is we've actually put into our budget a generosity line. And it's not like, it's not, we've got tithes and offerings, but we have a generosity line. In other words, we've just got money that's set aside that month. We're praying and asking God, how do you want us to be generous? We don't know what he wants, but you know what it does? Every week, every month, we're looking. It changes how we live. You know, we had people being generous to our life, and we kept saying, man, we want to be generous too. We want to be generous too. But that was all nice, but we weren't going to just stumble upon this extra money that was going to be there until we were intentional. And we said, you know what, we're just going to set aside some funds. We're not going to spend it on me, and we're going to hold it. And when God says go, we're going to go. And it's changed how we look at people. It's changed how we go to restaurants. It's changed how we look at our family members. It's changed when someone's talking about an opportunity or a life dream, and we say, oh, man, could that be us? Could we be a part of that story? Could we be a part of making a difference and just being generous? It's awesome. It's not a big number, I promise you, okay? It's not a big thing, but God has always provided opportunities for us to invest. And like I said, I think he takes notice when you'll do that stuff. Two summers ago, there was someone in our church. He was in middle school, and he wanted to go on a missions trip, and his family just, they were not in a situation financially to cover that. And so we were praying, and we were thinking, God, you know, we would love to do that, but we have this little bitty generosity line that was not going to make any dent in his missions trip funding that was needed. But God knew our heart, and I believe God honored our intentionality so much so we were given the exact amount extra of just out of nowhere, just kind of given a payment extra that matched what he needed for his trip. And so it was put in our hands, and our hands were already open. So we just said, here you go. And I think that's not us, that's just God. We were intentional. We have built a pattern. And God said, hey, you know what? If you'll give it, I'll put it in there. And that's not just about money. I think that's about time. I think if you will build margin into your life with time, I think you'll see God do incredible things with that margin. I think if you'll build time with the talents and the gifts that you have, I think God would cause you to use your gifts in ways you never imagined. Because you said, hey, God, I'm just going to be open-handed with this. I'm just going to open my hands to this. I'm going to choose to live with intentional generosity. It's so powerful. Jesus is so good. And, you know, back to his metaphors, I think that the other thing that's so incredible about how he taught this was, he gave one metaphor about a city, and he gave one metaphor about a home. In other words, he said, listen, this is so true that I have a personal responsibility with my lives, but for the community of followers, you have a charge too. You need to be intentional with your generosity as well. I'm responsible for my home, but as a church family, we are responsible for our home. And how are we going to live? How are we going to make a difference? How are we going to live as the light of the world? I think there is such a word, not just for us to be intentional with our generosity in our lives, but as a church. And that is one of the reasons why we do the Advent offering. That's one of the reasons why we do this. And we say, hey, we're going to believe that God can pull us together to make a difference that we couldn't do just on our own. And so what God does, and it's so amazing, last year we collected over $60,000, and we just said, God, we're going to be intentional to this. We're going to give this to start a church. And you know what God did? He took that $60,000. He multiplied that. He multiplied the people there, and there's a brand new church in South Richmond today meeting right now because we were intentional about our giving. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that worth giving thanks to God for? Because that's bigger than you and me. You know, because we were intentional with our generosity, God took our little offering and he started a health clinic in an all-Muslim village in Ethiopia that's been free and sustained for years. Thousands of patients, over 70 Muslims have come to Christ. There's an underground church in that community now. From us, from a little local church that just said, God, we're just going to be open-handed. Isn't that worth giving thanks to God for? There is something so powerful that he can do when we just open our hands. In fact, I truly believe that there is no more powerful force for the gospel of Jesus than a life that is fully entrusted to him. Everything I have is yours. There's nothing more powerful. There's no one more powerful. And that is exactly who Jesus calls you and I to be. It's so powerful. He gives us one thing to know, one thing to do, but then he gives a vision. He says, look, this is why this is so important. And this is why it's so important to me, Jesus says, and why it needs to be so important to you. Because here's the trick about generosity. Intentional generosity leads to contagious generosity. Giving is one of the few things in life that actually changes not only the person who gives, but the person who receives. It becomes contagious. And this is how Jesus casts that vision. He says, in the same way, when you choose to give your light to others, they will see your good works and they will give glory to the Father who is in heaven. The life that was promised by Jesus, the offer he put on the table for you and me, this lifestyle of legacy was one that really would lead to a life of more and more people seeing the greatness of who God is and choosing to give their lives to the one who already gave his for all of us. That's the power, not of a political stance, not of a declaration of what's right and what's wrong, but of a life that's open-handed to the Lord and says, God, what's mine is yours. I'll be intentional. I'll be strategic. I'll be planned because I know it'll lead to others seeing the greatness of who you are. That is the fulfilling legacy lifestyle that God is calling us to embrace. And that is one that leads to others seeing his greatness. And so I'll just ask you real quickly, just ask you again, what would it look like for you to build intentional generosity into your life? What could that look like? What would it look like if Thanksgiving, let's just boil it down. What if you just boiled it down to this one week? And what would it look like for you to be intentionally generous this week? I think it is a valid question for any follower of Jesus to ask. And I think if you ask it, God will answer it. I think he'll speak to you. And I think if you'll live like you were made to be a difference, if you'll live and enact that trust and that faith and that courage, if you ask that question this week, why it's so important to do it this week, because I think if you'll ask it this week, and you can ask it next week, and then you can ask it the next week, and then you can ask it the next week, and you know what? Maybe in a year or two, you might not notice much of a difference, but when you stand and you look 20, 30, 60 years back, and you'll say, God, man, you did so much more than I could have ever asked or dreamed or imagined. Isn't it amazing that me trying to build a fulfilling life, that's just above my pay grade. That's just not what I'm asked to do. I'm not asked to determine that. I'm asked to live generously. And if I'll focus on how God's asking me to live his way, you know what? He's the one who's faithful. He's the one who's promised. He's the one who's put the offer on the table. And I believe that if the church, if you and I, if we would live this way, it would create an impact in our society and our culture. Come on, they don't need you and I to, they know what we believe. They know what, they're not listening. They don't, I mean, I get it. I there's things I'm suspicious about. I don't listen either, right? There's certain news channels I just don't watch. I'm not listening. It's not about what we say. I promise you, what God is asking us to be about more than anything else is how we live. What an incredible opportunity in this room. Because I look around and there's a bunch of lives that Jesus thought, this person's not just worth dying for because of the home I've created for them, but because of the potential that I created within them. Question is, will we be intentional? I'd love to take a moment just to stand together. Not yet. But I believe that God just wants to stir our hearts and say, hey, this is what it means to follow me. It's great coming to church, and it's great having all the right values and beliefs, but in the end, he's asking us to live this kind of lifestyle. And I believe for some of us here today, it's a day to say, you know what, God, I followed you. I trust you're good. I trust you're great. But you know the Lord's calling you to take a stand and say, no, there's an intentional lifestyle, not the big things in the day-to-day, but God, I'm willing to trust your process and your forever plan. I'm willing to trust what you want to use me to do. And I'm not gonna worry about if and when anymore. You've already said that. So I'm going to just focus on the how and trust you with the rest. I believe today is a great moment to make a stand, but I do just want to emphasize, look, there's no judgment here. There's nothing like that. But in the end, what we do here now, it really doesn't matter if we're not going to do it tomorrow. It really doesn't. So let's just bow our heads and open our hearts and ask the Lord, God, I believe you.